Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
When you're at intermediate level, it's much harder to see progress in your English learning. You find yourself in this intermediate zone that seems to last forever. Some people even call it the plateau purgatory.
But if you want to take your English to a true advanced level, there's something you can do. Find someone to teach.
In today's episode, we will share how teaching English helped us get a deeper understanding of the language, which in turn made us more advanced and proficient users of English. We'll also share some tips on how you can use teaching to take your English to a whole other level.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Cassie from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
exhilarating
way to learn English. So download this podcast while you're at the car wash, window shopping, or even
shredding on guitar.
Awesome. So guys, today I'm joined in the global studio by the one and only Thiago. Hey, Thiago.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We also have a very special guest today. Welcome, Nia.
Hey, everyone. Hi, Cassie. Hi, Thiago. Happy to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. So, guys, what's it like in Brazil today? How's everything going on that side of the world?
Cold.
Yeah, surprisingly cold, because yesterday wasn't, and today it is. So, yeah, that's how spring's been going for us.
Yeah, we don't even know which season it is anymore, you know? We don't know if it's winter, if it's spring, you know? It's a mess.
That's interesting. Here, it's actually pretty hot these days. I'm surprised. I feel like it's an early summer. So, Thiago, I used the expression plateau purgatory in the intro. Can you explain what that is?
Ooh, that sounds dark. But you know, a plateau is usually, you know, a stage in your development where you don't see progress anymore. Yeah. So in language learning, we usually have the intermediate plateau, yeah? Which is, you know, that aspect of your learning or that phase where, you know, you already communicate, you already speak some English and understand many things, but for some reason, no matter what you do, you still don't progress or you don't see that progress. So it feels kind of stagnant, right? That's what we call plateau. And purgatory is kind of a funny word we're using here. Yeah, plateau purgatory. Yeah, because purgatory is actually something a little bit darker, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
How would you define purgatory?
So, yeah, you know, like for Christian religions, right? It's that place after you die that your soul goes to, waiting, you know, for you to be judged if you're going to go to heaven or hell, depending on what it did in life. So it's that place of really not knowing what's going to happen, right? And you are sort of tormented by, you know, your thoughts and your actions and everything. So, you know, being at that place with your English learning is sort of dark, right? It's like you are in that place, like, am I going to progress one day? And am I going to go back to, you know, being a beginner again? What should I do? So it's really this place of not knowing what's going to happen.
Perfect definition. Yeah, love it.
So let's move on to today's kick-ass quote. Nia, can you read it for us?
Oh, sure. The quote today says, "Teaching is not a job. It's a lifestyle. It permeates your whole life." And this quote is by Jill Biden. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, because regardless whether you are a teacher or not, like professionally, right? I think developing this habit of teaching people stuff or explaining things to people is something that really permeates, you know, our entire lives. Like, you know, yes, I work as a teacher professionally, but I still teach my son, for example, about other stuff. Like, you know, about, I don't know, the greatest rock bands in the history, yeah? That's me teaching him something, yeah? So I guess this is some sort of attitude that no matter what you work with, professionally, you could develop within yourself, you know, explaining things to people, sharing your knowledge, right? Your experience with people.
Like really being the guide, right, of other people. This is something we've been discussing quite a lot, right? You know, when you do become a teacher professionally, it's almost like that becomes sort of your identity as well, right? So, you know, I think here in Brazil is a little bit different because we are not called by our last name. You know, students usually call us teacher. You know, they call us, they want to talk to us, they call us teacher. So sometimes, you know, you don't even remember your name in a way. Of course, we remember our names, right? But, you know, like if we are in a group of teachers and, you know, someone says teacher, like everyone's going to look because this is really part of your identity.
I don't know. And if the person is talking in Portuguese, you might even hear, you might even get a profi. Oi, profi.
Exactly.
Yeah, here I know that it's also the case where students will refer to their teachers as just teacher. Even my son, he calls his teacher, teacher. Who knows what her name is? No, I'm kidding. I do know. But yeah, we definitely do the same thing. But I want to add that, like, in terms of it becoming a lifestyle, you know, as Thiago mentioned, it becomes who you are. It becomes part of what you do on a daily basis, whether it's with your family, your friends, you're always willing to help. You're always willing to share your knowledge. And that's the awesome thing about teaching, is that it becomes a part of who you are. So this brings us to today's main topic, which is all about how teaching English helps you master the language, or any language for that matter.
If you're like most learners, then you probably get frustrated when you learn a new word, and then when it's time to speak, you've completely forgotten it. Now, I found that after I learn a new word, one of the best solutions to this is to use it as soon as possible. But what happens if you simply don't have somebody else to speak English with? Well, that's exactly why we created the Real Life app, which is the only place where anytime, anywhere you have an internet connection, you can simply press a button and instantly be connected to another English speaker in another part of the world to have a conversation and practice speaking together. So you will improve your listening skills, learn advanced words, and build confident, natural English. Also, you will have conversations every day with people from all around the world, discover other cultures, talk about your passions, and even be able to practice everything that you're learning with this lesson. So if you want to go from being a lost and insecure English learner to becoming a confident and natural English speaker, download the Real Life app for free right now by clicking the link on the description of this episode. Or you can search for Real Life English in the Apple app or Google Play Store.
Let's get to today's first question. So the first question I'd like to ask you both as professional teachers is, how did you become a teacher?
Oh my God, I have to go back so many years now. But I sort of became a teacher by chance because I needed to work, and the skill that I had was speaking English. And although this was not ideal, once I, you know, started doing it, I just realized, like, as I mentioned, I cannot not do it this, right? I have to do this. So, yeah, pretty much I started by, you know, I had just finished college and I needed a job, and that was a skill that I had. And then, you know, I applied for language institutes here in my country. And I ended up working for one of the biggest and one of the best schools here. And yeah, that's how I got started on it.
Just out of curiosity, Nia, what did you graduate in? What's your degree in?
It's in events management. I wanted to produce, you know, concerts and, you know, plays and stuff. That was my goal. But it was such a hard and like a difficult market to get started on. So yeah, at the time I couldn't really find a job on that. So I had to, you know, switch to something else that I knew how to do it.
Yeah, the cool thing is that it's kind of related still, in the sense that it's still in the humanities, right? And it still involves communication and talking to people, right?
It does. And I think the greatest thing is that I ended up working for this school who had a really strong cultural program. So I could still be, you know, part of that, you know, like using events and cultural events to help learners learn English. So I think I could, you know, bring the best of both worlds together. And, you know, skills are skills and you learn them for life and you can always transfer them as well, right? But what about you, T? How did you start or how did you become a teacher?
It was in a very unexpected way, actually. I wasn't planning on doing it at first because I was enrolled in this course in university for translation, actually. You know, I was learning about translation, how to become a translator at university. And at that point, I already spoke some English and I loved the language and I wanted to find some sort of work that would allow me to speak English every day. That's what I wanted. Yeah, teaching wasn't really on my radar yet. But then, you know, one day in class, the professor gave us an assignment to work in groups. And I was there working with my peers in groups. And one of my classmates, out of the blue, she turned to me and then she said, "Hey, Chuck, you have such good English. Why don't you teach?" And then I was like, "Really? Me? Teach? Can I do it? Yeah? Like, for a living?" And then she said, "Yeah, I mean, with the level of English you have, just apply for some language schools." Yeah. And then she actually pulled out from her bag this list of emails that she had already compiled from language schools in the city. Because, you know, she was also looking for, you know, a teaching job, yeah, herself. So she just, you know, shared those emails with me. And then that was kind of the spark for me. And then I started applying. I started sending my CV to those emails. And then, you know, eventually I got called for an interview and I became a teacher at this one school. And then, as we say in English, right, the rest is history.
What does it mean? You use the word spark. What does that mean?
When you start a fire, before the fire is ignited, you have a spark, right? It's that initial phase of the fire, right? So that's kind of the idea here, yeah? Her giving me this idea, she mentioning that was the spark or the initial, let's say, ignition, right? For me to start considering becoming a teacher professionally. And what about you, Cassie? How did you become a teacher?
I think in my case, it was, I could also say that it was by chance, as you said, it was like a spark that came from the most random situation, which was that I was busy completing my final assignment for my journalism degree. And our assignment was to basically create a product out of our skills. And as a journalist, your skills are usually communicating, writing, or, you know, some creative form of like videography or photography. And at the time, I decided to create an app which would help young learners improve their journalistic skills or their writing skills or creativity. And somehow this gave me the idea to start teaching. And that ultimately led me to decide to, after I graduated and I got my degree, I decided to do a TEFL course. And I started by teaching online. And that was basically it. It was like, I love this. This is what I want to do forever. And, you know, we spoke about how we ended up teaching, but can you guys share why? What was that intrinsic motivation? What was that sort of calling on the inside? What was it inside of you that made you want to become a teacher?
That's an amazing question. And I always sort of get, you know, emotional remembering back my journey because I had this, you know, scholarship to study abroad. So I did part of my degree in the United States. And we were this community of international students from, you know, all over the world. And of course, we communicated in English and we learned, you know, with each other in English. So English was really the tool for, you know, connection there. And when I came back, I was so transformed by this experience. And I had in the back of my mind, like, everyone should be able to experience that. Everyone should be able to talk to someone from a different culture, from a different country, from a different background, and learn from them. And I think that deep down, that was my motivation. I wanted to make it possible for everyone to live, you know, a similar experience that I had. So I think for me, what I always had back there is like, I'm not teaching English. I'm helping people achieve something else, right? I'm helping people connect, have better, you know, work opportunities, change their lives. So I think deep down, that was my motivation.
So it's almost like you are an agent for change, right? In a person's life, right? So positive change, of course.
Yeah. What is an agent for change, Thiago?
Oh, I imagine someone who, you know, who transforms, yeah, other people's lives, right? By interacting with you, even for a short amount of time, that person will leave that interaction that the person had with you better. Maybe it's an idea that the person learned from you or a whole course that the person took with you. But yeah, you know, everybody who passes through you, let's say, right, as a student, as a learner, yeah, leaves better than, you know, when they first met you, yeah?
Isn't that powerful, right? Can you think the power of that as teachers, as mediators of, you know, someone's journey? It's so beautiful to think about it.
What about you, Thiago? I'm curious. Share your story.
Actually, mine is not as inspiring, I think, as Nia's, because, you know, I was very young at the time, so I couldn't articulate it very well. Yeah, but one thing I knew for sure, I loved English already. It was an interest of mine. I loved the language, the sound of it. And I just wanted to work with something that allowed me to use it every day. That was my initial motivation. And then when I discovered about teaching, you know, I just saw it like as an opportunity, yeah, for me to get paid, to make a living, and speak English every day, which is what I was looking for, right? But of course, I mean, as the years passed and I became older, yeah, that initial why evolved, yeah? So I didn't know, for example, that in my country, yeah, in Brazil, 95% of Brazilians don't know English, for example. Only 1% of Brazilians out of over 200 million are really fluent. So we can actually say that myself and Nia, we are part of this 1%. I didn't know that. And English nowadays is such a skill that is in high demand, right? So people need to learn it, and I have this knowledge, and then I can be this agent of change, right, to help people. Yeah, so nowadays, I mean, my why is much deeper, of course, yeah, because, you know, it's just like what Nia said. I mean, and now I see myself really helping people, you know, reach their potential, yeah, by teaching them this tool, which is English. But at that time, I guess the initial motivation was just, you know, my interest in the language and wanting to use it every day. Yeah.
I think that it's really powerful, you know, what you're saying. I think it's really beautiful and almost poetic, like sort of this, you know, you decided to do something and you weren't, like you said, you weren't able to articulate it at the time. It was like, I don't know why, but I'm drawn to this. And I think it's almost like sort of that higher calling. You don't know why you're on this mission, but that's the direction I'm going in. So it's really beautiful.
You know, that reminds me of that Steve Jobs talk that he gave at Stanford University. Remember the commencement address? He gave that in 2005. And he talks exactly about that. He says that follow your curiosity, follow your interest, right? Because you never know what that is going to lead you. And you cannot connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking backwards, yeah? So nowadays, yeah, I can look back and connect these dots, yeah? Oh, that's why I have this interest. That's why I wanted to do that, right?
Oh my God, that's so... I can so relate to that. Because that was exactly what it was for me. Because when I first applied for college, I applied for a language course and I got in two great universities in Brazil, but I didn't go. And my parents were crazy, you know, like, how come you get in the university and you don't go? And by the time I went, you know, to do my dance course and then, you know, I got a dance diploma, that was my first experience with English because I got a scholarship at that school. And then I came back, I was still in the arts environment. So I went for events management. Then I got the second scholarship. Then I came back. Then I became a teacher. So, you know, like, and I could only become a teacher because of that experience, you know, of living abroad and interacting with people from other countries. Had I gone to the language course at first place, I wouldn't have lived there and probably I wouldn't become a teacher. So, yeah, that's that's amazing. I can totally relate to that.
What about you, Cassie? Why did you become a teacher? What was the motivator there?
What was the feeling? What was the situation? So in my case, like it was crazy because there was a couple of years ago, I would say, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there was this mega trend of, you know, South Africans going abroad to teach English. It was like, imagine like people just taking gap years. Like all they have is their high school you know, certificate and they're going, thinking they are English teachers, just going out there and teaching English. And it was stupid. And I thought it was stupid. I was like, what are you doing? You're not a teacher. You don't even care. You just want to travel for free and, you know, make a little bit of money. And I thought it was ridiculous. But I realize now that, you know, even though I didn't buy into it, maybe for some of those people, they really were feeling that call to, you know, to be agents of change in the world. And but I do feel that I needed a reason to do it. And even after I did the TEFL course, I felt like I have a stable job. I have a 9-to-5. And everyone thought that, like, you know, teaching English online was just a fad and it was just stupid. Why would you want to do this? But I knew that I had to quit my job and I knew that I had to take this risk and I had to do this thing that I really felt so passionate about. And it's not a very, you know, glamorous story. It's not even inspiring, but it is a story of, as you said, like this strange feeling, this pull towards doing something that I couldn't explain it. I couldn't understand why I wanted to do it, but I did. And once I did, I knew why. Only once I did it, I knew why. And I formed these really deep connections, I don't want to do anything for the rest of my life, anything else. I really cannot think of what else I want to do besides like using what I've achieved during this time, you know, since I've become a teacher. I've learned so much. And I think whatever I do next has to be connected to this because it just feels, I still have that pull. I still feel that there's more to do in this area. So yeah, that's my why. You know, we're talking about all of these wonderful things about how and why we decided to do it. But why should others do it? You know, what are the benefits that they could get out of teaching? Thiago, what are some of the reasons that they should start teaching English?
Yeah, we decided to record this podcast for you guys today, dear listeners, because look, it doesn't really matter whether you want to become an English teacher yourself or not. Maybe you are already happy and satisfied with your profession. That's fine. But the point here of this podcast today is find someone to help, you know, with the language, right? Because you are probably an intermediate learner already listening to this or upper intermediate, and you're not sure how to progress, you know, anymore. So one great way to do that is by helping someone, by finding someone to teach. It could be informally. It could be a family member or a friend that has a lower level of English than you. Yeah. And, you know, you schedule with that person, maybe once a week you meet up, yeah, for about an hour and, you know, you teach what you know. Yeah. Why is that important? Because one reason I can give is teaching somebody forces you to think of the same topic in different ways. So maybe you have already learned about a certain topic, but if you have to teach that topic to a person, you're going to have to reflect on it and think about it maybe in different ways to try to explain that in a more effective way. So that is one benefit that I can think of if you start teaching somebody. What else can you guys add here?
Yeah, I think it also makes you, building on that, a more resourceful person, right? Because depending on the person that you are tutoring, that person needs something that it's more visual, or that person needs something that it's more musical, or, you know, they need to write down, they need it to visualize, whatever it may be. So you as the tutor, you as the person helping, you come up with this idea. So if you work with something that requires creativity, becoming a teacher can make you a more creative person. And that's a skill that you will transfer to your job eventually, right? I think it also helps to sort of reinforce the knowledge that you already have. So sometimes you know something, but you don't know why, or you don't know how, or you don't know how you came about to know that something. And when you are teaching that, when you are transferring your knowledge, that person's going to ask, but why do I use this verb here? Or why is it this preposition? And you got to know, or you want to know. So it kind of validates the knowledge that you already have.
That is so true. Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about, like, you know, another reason why you can do it is you know, let's say you don't want to necessarily practice with people in your family or your friends because you're so embarrassed. You don't want to, you know, do that with someone who actually knows you. You know, there are options like language exchanges. And as Chiago touched on earlier, like you can use this as an opportunity to maybe like chat with someone in English. And if you want to, you can share your native language with them. I know Ethan spoke with me about this recently, so I realized like there are opportunities for everyone to be able to teach and receive. Like it's sort of like an exchange in that way. Like I'm learning and I'm sharing. But what we're talking about today is how this can improve your English. So now you can help, you know, as Chiago mentioned, like people who are at a lower level who are strangers. So you can tell them, you know, I'm an upper intermediate level learner. You know, these are some courses I've done. Let me help you with some basics, or, you know, this is what I've learned. And it can really be an opportunity for you to just, you know, make new friends. Firstly, practice your speaking, practice your teaching, practice your, as Nia mentioned, those creative skills that allows you to like break down what this actually means. So it's really an opportunity for you to get outside of yourself, outside of your own mind, and connect with other people and have that social element of like learning and exchanging with others.
Yeah, I see that as this circle of positivity also. Yeah, because, you know, you are teaching your native language to a person who's interested in learning that language, and the person is learning, I don't know, the second language from that person. So yeah, it's a nice exchange there.
So before we get to some tips on how you can become an English teacher, let's do today's shout out.
So today's shout out goes to Alicia, and she says, "Thank you for making this application. I really like it because I have always been looking for an English learning app like this, adding vocabulary, improving listening skills, and so on. It's really complete. Thank you very much."
Oh, thank you, Alyssa, for that really awesome review. And to any of you guys out there who want to send us a shout out, just head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. And this will help other people like yourself learn English with us. Also, make sure you download our app if you haven't already done so. You can listen to the podcast with interactive transcripts and speak English with people around the world at the touch of a button. The app has got an average rating of 4.9 stars on the Apple Store and thousands of new learners joining every single week. So download it right now. Just head over to Apple App Store or Google Play Store and search for Real Life English. Oh yeah. So now we're moving on to the next segment, which is all about, you know, sharing tips on how you, dear listeners, can become English teachers yourself. So Nia, what is something our listeners can do if they want to become English teachers?
So to become a professional English teacher, so if you want to make a career out of it, I can share what my steps were. So first, I really felt the need of having a proficiency certificate. So really working on my English, you know, achieving a high proficiency level. So that was my first goal. So I went back to the classroom, you know, at a more advanced level, and I really studied and sat for a proficiency exam. I took the C2 Cambridge proficiency exam. Then after that, I felt, as I mentioned to you guys, I didn't have a background in languages. So I felt the need of having a TEFL certification. Right. Then again, I went and took the CELTA course, which is the certificate in teaching English to speakers of other languages. And after that, after you have a good foundation of the language, a good level of proficiency, you know, that you have some teaching skills under your belt with a TEFL certification, then I felt the need to join an association for teachers, that you can, you know, exchange ideas with other teachers, and then you can always be learning, because, you know, on these places you have the chance, you know, to give talks as well, to listen to keynote speakers, and you're always in this place of exchanging knowledge. So that's what I would say. It's a nice path to become a professional English teacher.
Yeah, I think Nia gave some really nice tips if you want to get started. Yeah, and so then I can complement what she said, thinking about after you do that. So imagining that you have already started teaching English, you've already, you know, improved your language skills, and you are already teaching maybe beginners or low intermediate levels. After a while, this becomes too comfortable, yeah? So challenge yourself by taking on more advanced students. That's what I did. You know, I was already teaching for many years, yeah? And I was comfortable, yeah? But then I deliberately asked my coordinator at the school that I was working at to give me C1 and C2 groups, because, you know, the idea of prepping a C2 class was just, you know, too much for me at that time. It was a lot of a bigger challenge, right? So that also helps a lot. If you already have good English, but you are looking to progress even more or challenge yourself, take on some sort of prep course like that. You know, maybe a C1, C2 prep course or an IELTS prep course, because, you know, in preparing those classes for your students, you will learn so much yourself, right? So that's what I would say if you are already a teacher and looking to get even better.
I want to comment on two things, like one, something that Nia mentioned and something that you mentioned. But, you know, when Nia mentioned about like having that support group, you know, of teachers where you can ask questions, you don't have to feel you're part of a larger group where, you know, if you are unsure, if you are, you know, wondering, there's a wealth of, like, there's so much resources. There's so many people who can help you if you feel like, I mean, is that was it like that? Of course, I haven't gone through that, but I'm just curious to know, is that what you were, is that how you felt? Like, did you feel like this was, you know, you were part of an organization that was able to, you know, boost your own skill set in some way?
Exactly, because, you know, so teaching is a really lonely profession, and then I think that could be a topic for a whole other episode, right? But when you are in the classroom, it's just you and your students, right? So if you have that community, you can sit, you know, you can talk about the problems you have in the classroom. You can talk about, oh my God, I'm struggling with the learner who cannot develop their listening skills. What can I do? Do you have ideas? You know, and then you have this place of sharing and learning as well. And one thing that I forgot to mention, and it's amazing, it's having someone watching your lesson, you know, a more experienced teacher coming to your classroom and watching and giving you feedback. And you yourself going to someone who's more experienced and watch their classes as well, because you learn so much on that exchange too. So, yeah. And I was just going to comment that, you know, if someone really wants to feel inspired to teach, but doesn't see that as a profession, right? Doesn't see that as, you can start by being, you know, sort of a poll that someone can come and talk to. So really advertise that, you know, go to your social media and then say, you know, I'm open for a study group, or I'd like to create a book club or a music club or whatever your interests are, you know, and then you just show yourself available and say that you can be a tutor to those people, and maybe do that in English, because you're going to grow with that experience as well.
And, you know, I just want to add that you will be surprised how many people might reach out to you if you start doing this, right? What Nia said, sharing that you are available on your social media for these groups and study groups, you will be surprised how many people reach out to you.
Exactly. I feel like it's sort of ties in with like how I started, like, because it was ultimately that, like, the platforms that I worked with were, it was sort of based on your interest and the student's interest. I never worked with, like, we had curriculum, of course, but it was more like they choose you based on who you are and your knowledge. And so you offer, for example, you know, I will do book clubs with you every Monday, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking, you know, from a learner's perspective, if you do the thing that you're interested in, for example, maybe you're not interested in books, you're not really a social person, you know, then don't do it. It's not going to work for you. But if it is something that you're interested in, you love, you know, vlogging, or you love whatever, then that should be you should tie your learning, obviously, to tie your learning to what you're interested in, so that there is that connection and there's that feeling of, like, as Chiago mentioned, like, you're doing what you're sort of, it comes naturally to you. You feel passionate about it. But I wanted to ask you, Chiago, you mentioned, like, you weren't comfortable with teaching, like, C1, C2. Is that what you said? Or was it just C2 level? But did you eventually get to that point? Or was it like a realization, like, this is not what I want to teach? Like, it's just, you. Yeah. Did you eventually feel comfortable with it? Or Like, what was that like for you? Like that feeling of like, okay, I know this is not what I want to do.
Yeah. I mean, actually I loved it. Right. I mean, once I started doing it, I loved it. And, you know, nowadays I can only think of myself teaching, you know, upper intermediate up. Right. Because you know, I really like that because, you know, these are students who already know enough English. We can have discussions and conversations. And then it's more about refining the language, right? Refining what they already have, which is already very good, right? But, you know, at first when I started, I was a little bit intimidated, of course, because, you know, students at that level, they have very good level of English already. Sometimes it might be even the same as the teacher or more. Yeah, so you really got to prepare a lot before walking into a C2 group, for example. I had some speakers that I was like, wow, I even thought, you know, in class, why are you here, man? You know, you speak so, your English is amazing. Why are you here? You know,
maybe it's like a psychological, maybe their issue is like psychological. I'm not ready to.
Maybe, because, you know, they were amazing. But, you know, it's good for us to put ourselves in those challenging situations because we also grow and develop, right? But nowadays, yes, I love teaching those advanced levels. But I know that, you know, I've met many fellow teachers over the years who don't feel comfortable, yeah, with those levels. And that's totally fine. But, you know, if you're looking to improve your English level, yeah, maybe putting yourself in that situation could help you with that, yeah?
And speaking of levels, I don't know if many native speakers also feel the same way, but when I started out, I was more intimidated by the beginner level students because they're the ones who need you to be on top form. They're the ones, as Nia said, if you are going to teach them something bad, they're going to carry that with them for years to come. And, you know, they're probably going to hate you when they discover that you taught them the wrong thing. So I also felt very intimidated by the fact that what I do with beginner level students has a bigger impact on them. And I didn't want to be responsible for causing them to mislead them or to cause them to, you know, any confusion later on in their language journey. So that was my experience with beginners.
Yeah, I was going to comment exactly on that and how teaching is just this amazing opportunity because there are two different challenges, right? When you are teaching higher level students, you have the language challenge. So you have to be on top of the language, right? You have to know why is it look and not stare, or, you know, like you have to know all of the subtle differences of the language, because as Thiago mentioned, maybe that learner has a better English than you do, right? Like maybe their level is even higher. So there is the challenge of the language. So as a teacher, you are learning more about the language. When it comes to beginners, of course, you know more than them in terms of language, right? But the challenge is really hard to teach beginners because the challenge is with the teaching skill, with, you know, mm-hmm. the skill set that you bring, because it's not about speaking the language, because if you start speaking the language, they won't understand, right? But at the same time,
it's about explaining, right?
Exactly. It's about, you know, your pedagogy. It's about, you know, being a good teacher in that sense, right? So the challenge is different. And then you learn more about yourself, about human beings, about learning in general. So it's, you know, you win either way, you know, regardless of the group that you're teaching, you are learning with it.
Yeah, like, you know, you develop not only your language skills, but also you as an individual, yeah? You grow. All right, everybody. So that's all we have for you today. So just a couple of reminders. Download the Real Life English app. Don't forget to do that. Follow our YouTube channels, both Learn English with TV and Real Life English. Also follow us on Instagram at reallife.english and subscribe to our amazing newsletter. You're going to get a new email coming your way every Friday.
All right, guys. I know that myself, Nia, and Thiago had a great time talking about our experience, but we have more awesome topics for you again next week. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.